Book of Hebrews, which says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today we're going to see how that works, how that operates in our lives, and how it operates in the life of this congregation. And it is something that God creates within us and maintains in our lives from the past to the present and into the future. And today, of course, we're going to be asking God's blessing on Bill and MJ as they move to Atlanta, Georgia for the next chapter of their lives. And we'll hear from them in just a moment. But I would like to underline this thread, because when they share a little bit, you'll begin to see that thread, how it's operated in them. And you'll also begin to see how it's operated in your life and what God has done in you, in your heart and in your soul and through you, and how that's consistent all the way through. So that's what we're talking about, well, among other things, when we say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because there are gifts that are from Jesus that last throughout our lives. And you'll recall a few things about Jesus that the scriptures say, which are surprising to some people because we think a little differently, but mainly the Creator is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, Him, that's Jesus. And nothing came into being except through Him. And later, Paul in Colossians called Jesus the Creator. That's very, very important, because pieces of the life and ministry of Jesus that He shares with us and He puts within us when we're created by Him. And that is what lasts from the beginning of our lives all the way through to the present and into the future. So, including me, like to call that the golden thread. There are apples of gold is what the Word of God is called sometimes. And there's a golden thread of how God created us by His Word. And then that goes all the way through our lives into eternity. It's a very powerful thing. Now, you've probably noticed this without thinking about it in those terms. When somebody does something maybe gets them in trouble or is a little outlandish or whatever it may be, even if you don't see it but you hear about it, if your reaction to that is, well, I'm not surprised, that's because they've done that and will keep doing it to the end. That's the golden thread. Now, they may have, turned that a little bit, but God will turn it back. As you grow and become like Jesus, that golden thread, that gifting, becomes deeper and richer and more fruitful as we go along. But it's a wonderful example. Finish thing. Something about an apostolic gifting that is from Jesus into them when they were created. And they are starting things, which is what an apostle does. This church was started because of an apostolic gifting in someone. Now, what you have to do is, make good, know how to finish it. That would be the thing to do. But you're going to be, if you're the one who's the apostolic, you're going to be starting things and maybe never finishing them as for the rest of your life. And that's good. Otherwise, nothing would get started. You're just put into the same thing all the time. So all these gifts are powerful and important. And we will see that in everyone's life. And we'll see that in Bill and MJ's life. And as we share with Bill and MJ today, we'll see that there are things that have been in their lives all along. And those things have been shared here at St. Francis. And those things will remain in their lives all throughout, even as they move into the next chapter. And that's, we want to take a look at that now. So I've asked Bill and MJ to share this morning a story that is significant to them from their time here at St. Francis. So would you come up and stand with me and share that? Not only all of us here can take part of it, but our friends on Zoom can also. MJ, you've brought a notebook. I'm not surprised, but they No. Okay. Who's going first? You or Bill? Okay.
I'm actually going to share two stories, but they're not long, so I think
that's okay. You've got the pulpit now. Is that right?
Close enough? Okay. We had moved to Goochland, and we met a lot of friends at this church who were in the same boat, as well as some of you who've been here all your lives but accepted us freely as if we had always been here, for which I'm grateful. I grew up in a small town. I know that's not always the case, so we are grateful for that. This has always been a place where people are immediately part of the congregation, whether you come every Sunday or you're only here once. You're part of this. It's really more of a family than it is a congregation. Don't do that. Or I'll do it too. It's also a place where it's a safe place where it's okay to say what you think and how you feel. And nobody's going to decide they don't want to have anything to do with you because of that. It's a place where Larry could say that heaven is like Disney World, or where I could say, I don't understand why God let that happen. Those things are okay. Nobody's going to be upset about that, even if they disagree. And I'm sure this will always be a place like that. There are two things that have made a big difference here for me, and they have to do with my understanding of faith and my understanding of what for God's forgiveness and God's love really means. The first one I want to start with is forgiveness. Now, I can forgive you anything, but when it comes to forgiving myself, that's a much more difficult thing. But I have learned to do that here. And there's a little story. In a huddle, I brought up the fact that I was still, even years after having retired, having dreams about the way I'd handle a situation the last year that I was teaching. And I remember Carol said to me, if you're having dreams like that, then you don't believe that God sent Jesus to die for you and to clear you of your sins. And I thought about that and thought, well, that does make sense, and it is what we say we believe, and I haven't had that dream since or any dreams like it. Because if we believe that Jesus came to provide us with forgiveness, I shouldn't have been having those dreams because I wasn't accepting the forgiveness. So I'm a little bit better about forgiving myself. I still struggle with it a little bit, but I have learned if you can't forgive yourself, then you haven't accepted the gift that God gave us through Jesus. So that was a very important lesson for me. The other one, which I think I've shared with you before, and I think it probably goes with what we've been read and talked about today. And that is what God's love really means. Now, you know, almost 5 years ago when I had a transplant, I was extremely fortunate at my age to get a transplant and to get one that was almost a perfect match because some young man donated that. So my thought was, once I got over all that prednisone and everything, my thought was, okay, so God did this for some reason, and I need to find what that is and carry out whatever it is I'm supposed to do as payment for that, which is not at all what we're taught. But it is what a lot of us believe. It's what you hear. You know, God saved you so that. And then you spend your life wondering what so that was. And the other problem is that when you do that, you're trying to find it yourself. You're not listening to what God has to say to you. You're trying to tell him what you're going to do to pay him back. And that's not right. That's not what we say. It's not even what we say in the creed. If we believe that God loves us unconditionally, why would there be a so that? So I sleep a lot better once I realize that. And I'm not constantly trying to dig up some program or something to do because I think I need to pay God back. What I am trying to do is to follow Jesus and try to live my life like that. And I think that's not a payment. That's just what you do if you believe. So I hope that our response, all of our responses, will be to love back, love God back, show him and show others how we do that. Not by talking to him necessarily, but, you know, there are lots of ways to show that. our response would be to also follow Jesus' example as best we can and be grateful that God has offered us a salvation from our sins, because we're never going to be able to follow Jesus perfectly. And those are the things that I have learned here that I will take with me.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I know you're expecting me to tell you all about building the building. That was kind of a mistake from my part. Susan badgered me into getting on the boat, on the vestry. I had sworn I would never serve on the vestry. I didn't like the way it was set up, but I did. I think God moved me to do that. He has moved me a lot since we were at this church. I am probably the last person you needed to have renovated the building. But we did do that. We had Carl Nelson to help us. We had Larry Kidd to help us. Jack was there. And we had John Rao who led us. And we made some good progress here. And that was a lot of fun. And we thought a lot about that. People donated stuff to us, and that was good. All of that was great. However, Dominion Power, when I came, told them to turn the power on, said, we'll be glad to do that in 30 days. Well, 30 days didn't suit us at all. We wanted to have the service the next Sunday. So I got up at the school where we were having our church services at that time, and I said, we will have our service next week, next Sunday, in the church. There will be no electricity. And we do not have an occupancy permit. So if the police comes, they can simply put me in the Goochland jail. I can promise you I have been in worse places. Everything worked out okay. We did have the generator, and we used that for the electricity. So I'm done with that, and that's fine. But I do want to share with you a couple of things that you may not have known. Unlike a lot of places, where particularly where I grew up and MJ grew up, there was only one church of a denomination. There weren't 50 like there is here in Richmond. But we had a lot of help from St. Matthew's and Christ Church. They helped us. They gave us money. They helped us spiritually. They sent people over to be in our congregation. They did a lot of things that helped us move along. But two of those things are particularly important to me. The first was St. Matthew's was deciding to go down to New Orleans to help with the hurricane that tore New Orleans all to pieces. And they asked if any of us would like to join them. And three of us decided to do that, and we got in with the people at St. Matthew's. And we sat down and we talked. Fortunately, I became important because I have both a Sam's Club car and a Costco car. And they don't have a Costco there, but they did have a Sam's card, and nobody else had one. So I said, yeah, I got one, so we're okay. We paid our own way. We flew to New Orleans. I'd never been to New Orleans before. That was my first trip down there. And what we were doing is gutting the houses down there. And by the time we got there, there were about 11 of us in the group. And we would simply go into a house that had been sitting for 9 months after the hurricane. Water had been up anywhere from here to here in the house. And we pulled everything down. First, we took all the belongings out there. So the belongings, a lot of them were still in there. Furniture was still in there. All the stoves, the refrigerators and whatever. We taped the freezers and refrigerator doors shut and took them all out. And somebody picked them up every night. And that was fine. So that was great. People came by and stopped and came in and said, thank you for what you're doing. Most of the people's homes that we were in were not there. They had gone. They had left somewhere. But it was very, very touching to me when people said that. Obviously, there was a need. It was way worse than anything I had ever seen before. I was in Vietnam. I saw stuff there. Not nearly as bad as it was in New Orleans. New Orleans, it was 30 miles of destruction everywhere done by the water. They'd roll cars over. There were still cars with sitting on their top. It was just awful. But the people were very happy that we were there, and we were glad to be able to do that. We were fairly good at it. I'm not sure why, but we did a house a day for three straight days. And then they gave us another house that was like the 1920s. That was a much bigger house, and we started, and that took 2 days. But that family came by on the second day to thank us for the work we had done, and also to find out what we'd done with some of the pieces. I kind of figured that they had a sink in there that was like a 1910 sink, and I said, somebody's going to want those. And sure enough, the lady came by, and she says, where's the sink? I said, there it is out there. I got it. I put it out there for you. I knew you were coming by for it. She said, oh, yep, my first cousin called me today. She wants the sink, whatever. So hopefully that worked. Later we went with Christ Church, and we went back down to the New Orleans area, not to New Orleans itself, but to another area. And this time we were able to finish building a small house for a person. This was a one-bedroom house that had a living room, kitchen, a living room, dining room, there on a kitchen, one bathroom, and it was for some bachelor there, which was fine. But his family came by. We worked on that for 3 or 4 days. His family came by specifically to thank us and tell us how happy they were. We also had a neighbor come down who was a neighbor of one of these people, and he was really interested in saying, and told us, he says, how do we get you guys to come up and see us? Our house has been destroyed. We can't get anybody to come. And we try to lead him to the person that he should be talking to get that done. We were ready to leave and go home. There's not any more we can do. I will tell you that those two experiences strengthened my faith a lot. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I spent the time and effort to do it. And I will do it again. Thank you very much.
All right, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure all of you have a number of stories about Bill and MJ, and you can share them over cake and so forth, which would be great. One story about them for me. My first couple of months here, I was driving out Broad Street to Sandy Hook to visit somebody, and the driver's side front wheel of my car was going straight down Broad Street, and then it went like that. And I got off onto the side, thankfully, without rolling or anything. And the tow truck, I don't know what took it so long, but it took a long time. But I'll tell you who got there before the tow truck. Bill. Bill showed up, stayed with me, made sure my car got to the right place, made sure I had something to eat, made sure I got home. Just like he made sure those houses were in good shape in New Orleans. Bill has a great pastoral gift. And if there's a need, Bill wants to meet it because Jesus made him that way. And there are a number of times with MJ, we'd be in different meetings, groups, whatever, and she would just share something that would bring clarity. Even if it was a question, the question brought clarity. And it helped, and we were able to move ahead in different ways. And sometimes she didn't even have a notebook and she brought clarity. It was just wonderful. very helpful, extremely helpful. And, she's been gifted as a teacher, and that's probably been in her life from the time she was little to just a few minutes ago right here. We saw it again. Just absolutely wonderful. Now, I want to encourage you to be thinking about this in your own life. What's God put in you from the moment you were created? What did God see in you from before there was time? And you were in God's heart. And then put it in you when you're created and has been fanning it into flame throughout your life. I mean, what is that? And God may put that in your spirit today as we continue to pray and as we go to the table. God may bring something to you which is you, that God's always wanted and wants to increase. And you may get a glimpse of that, or you may get the whole picture of that, but it's there. It's right there, and that's who you are. And that's why you were created. And that's why you're here right now. And that's why you have the relationships that you have. And that's why you have the desires and the preferences that you have. Because they're God-given. And I want to encourage you to ask God to walk in them more completely all the days of your life. The result will be you bearing fruit that gives glory to God. And you may even be bearing fruit that you couldn't imagine today, but sometime in the future that will come. And it'll be a beautiful day in your life when you see that. So what we want to do right now, as we continue listening for ourselves to the Spirit of God, is to pray for Bill and MJ. So we want to ask God's blessing on you. Could I trouble you to come forward one more time?
We can still walk. We can walk up here.
Absolutely. That's right. This is another little private teaching moment. All right. Who wants to come up close and help pray? Okay, so do be careful. There's only one box of tissues in the room. So. All right, excellent. Very good, very good. All right. Everybody in good shape? Okay, great. You can extend a hand towards them, or whatever. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Bill and for MJ, for the Weatherfords. We thank you for their faithfulness towards you and towards your people and towards the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have been able to walk with them through these years together in this congregation. We thank you for the things that they have given out to this congregation, as well as to others around them, as well as things that they've received and rejoiced in and be grateful in. And we ask now that you would fill them with your Spirit and your blessing and your life and your grace and your mercy. And that as they go to Atlanta for the next chapter of their lives, they would see more of you than they have ever seen and be able to walk closer to you than they ever have been and be closer to each other as well as to family than they ever have been. And we ask that what they have invested in your kingdom here, you would return to them 100-fold for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
And let me just clarify something, because we would need even more blessings if we were moving to Atlanta, because we'd probably get hit and killed on the road. The traffic is so bad there. We're going to Athens, where it's a little bit safer.
Okay.
We still need the blessings, yes. But you don't have to worry quite as much.
Okay. It's a good thing you're here this morning.
Yeah, you know, don't try to come see us in Atlanta.
Show photos. Have you seen these two people?
But thank you. Thank
well, with that, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.